chapter 12, starting at verse 15, and we'll kind of get going. Love, you got any other announcements? All right. And so let's go ahead and go verse 15. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." And then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Let's just stop right there. Amen. And Father, add a blessing to the reading, to the hearing, the exposition, the expounding of your most holy truth. Be with me. Fill me up till I overflow. And I pray, God, that you would baptize me with fire in this place, God, and answer questions, God, that people have on their hearts, God. Unfold, unpack, unseal mysteries, God. Help us to know you better, God. As I decrease, you increase. As I sit down, you stand up, Almighty God. We pray you do it, O Holy One of Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been studying this 2 Samuel for quite some time. We finally get to chapter 12. And just to refresh you so we can know our context, amen. David was supposed to be at war with the rest of his soldiers when kings go forth to battle. He saw a woman washing herself on the roof, who was Bathsheba. David sent messengers to take her in to maybe conversate and maybe just to see what kind of soap or lotion she used that make her skin look so pretty. But when we don't have boundaries and we don't keep ourselves, amen, a safe distance from the opposite gender, amen, sin can easily, amen, overtake us. Well, the Bible tells us he lay with her. He committed adultery. And as God is, God never allows us to sin without uncovering it. For our sin shall surely find us out. And so the woman conceived, and David had a problem. He says, "Well, man, what am I going to do now?" And so he concocts this plan to cover up his sin. He calls for Uriah the Hittite, one of his soldiers, to come back, who was Bathsheba's husband. And he tried to tell him, "Go home, refresh yourself, spend some time with your wife." And David's hope was that Uriah, being home, being back home from a long journey, that he would lay with his wife, and David can put the child on Uriah, amen. And nobody would know David's sin. It was the perfect plan. The only thing is, God and Uriah came against the plan. Uriah wouldn't go home no matter what. David got him drunk. Uriah still wouldn't go home. So David sent a letter to Joab, his general, saying that when Uriah brings his letter to you, long story short, put him in the heat of the battle, make sure he dies. Joab fulfills the commandment of the king without questioning, and Uriah, amen, is killed in battle. And it looks like David has nothing to do with it, amen. David seems to play the honorary role and takes the widow of Uriah into his own home and marries her as though he's doing a good thing for his soldier, when actually he was the one who killed the man. And the Bible tells us when nobody else knew and things looked like they were going well, David was the hero. The woman conceived and bare as though it were a son, that God sent a prophet. The prophet Nathan walked in, told a parable about two men, the rich man's man stealing the poor man's lamb. And David was incensed, infuriated. He says, I'm a kill him. Who is he? And Nathan looked at him and says, "Thou art the man. You did it." And immediately David's heart was convicted, split in two by the word of God, the revelation of the prophet, and the guilt of his sin. And David says, "I've sinned before the Lord." And that repentance and confession was good before God, because it takes a man or a woman to admit when they've done wrong. and stop covering up. And God told David, David, all right, your sin is forgiven. Howbeit, there's going to be some consequences. The child is going to be struck dead. And David besought the Lord, if you remember. He said, God, no, God, just have mercy. God, change your mind. And David fasted, and he prayed, and he laid up all night on the earth, and he didn't use his creature comforts like his bed and a bath and a shower. And David says, listen, I'm a put myself in an uncomfortable situation, and I'm a fast until my God hears me. Amen. And last time we talked about pressing in. And how just like David pressed in unto God, it's time for us to press in as a church. And if you missed that, amen, you can go and get that on CD or look at it on, amen, the internet. Hallelujah. Because it's pressing in time. But we pick up in verse 18 of chapter 12. And the Bible says in verse 18, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And we can just stop right there. It may be all we cover tonight. But if we got time, I'm ready to go on. But I'm thinking that's all we're going to cover, Miss Michelle. The child died. You see? The title of the message tonight is When God Says No. When God Says No. I want to congratulate you tonight. You done graduated to the big leagues. There's a big boy message. There's a big girl message. This not for babies. All right? And if you're here tonight, God must think, amen, that you a big boy or a big girl. Because ain't everybody can handle this right here. When God says no. I know elders in the church that can't handle this when God says no. Who misinterpret when God says no. Don't know how to move on when God says no. Lose their faith and lose their religion when God says no. Oh, you're about to graduate tonight. You're about to graduate tonight. Come on, let me call you up. Let me call you up. Let me give you a higher understanding of just who your God is. Woo! When God says no. When God says no. You see, babies can't take a no. Woo! Come on, somebody. Babies cry when mama and daddy say no. But it's the older ones that know how to handle a no. Still keep a smile on their face. Still press on. Know how to put it in proper perspective. What do you do tonight, Philadelphia? When God says no, what do you do? Here we have David fasting for 7 days, B. Laying up all night, denying his creature comforts, and the child dies. God says no. He says no. What do you do? And some people look at this and say, man, maybe David was wrong for praying and fasting. The devil is a liar. You're never wrong for pressing in. You're never wrong for asking. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Only a fool don't ask. So yeah, David did the right thing. It's all right to press in. It's all right to ask. You're never wrong for asking. But can I tell you that sometimes you can do everything to change God's mind. And there are times God in his sovereignty will still say no. Oh, I didn't get no claps on that one, boy. Look, you saw that, James? Pastor, I'm not ready for that curriculum. Can we move back to the prerequisite classes? No. You ready? You ready? You ready? I'm about to graduate you. I'm about to pull you up. From the rest of the ministries and the rest of the churches, I'm about to pull you up, Miss Connie. What do you do when God says no? You see? You going to be a big boy about it? You going to be a big girl about it? I have in my nose, this is grown folk stuff. Look around the sanctuary. We often pray for open doors. And we love to talk about open doors. But we serve a God who not only opens doors that no man can shut, but he closes doors that no man can open. What happens if he closes a door? What do you do then? I'm here to show you that an open door is just as much as of a blessing as a closed door. But only big boys and big girls can handle that. It's graduation time, Philly. You prayed to get that job, but you didn't get it. Denied, rejected. You prayed, you fasted, you did everything right, everything you were supposed to. But God said no. And they hired somebody else. Might even hire somebody you know. What do you do when God says no? Yes, you prayed for that raise and you didn't get it. You prayed to keep that job when the oil field went south, but you still lost it. You did everything you were supposed to do. You were like David, pressing in, but somehow, some way, God still said no to your request. Yeah, you prayed for that business, but it failed. You prayed for that house, but the mortgage was denied. What did you do? What did you do? How do you respond? How does it shape your theology now when God says no? You prayed to keep that house, but foreclosure came. You prayed that to keep that car, but repossession came. You prayed for that marriage, and it didn't work. You prayed for that loved one, and God still decided to take him. Anybody ever been in a situation when God said no? I know I have. I know I have. I know I have. I remember holding a loved one's hand, praying, crying, singing, fasting. And God still took him. He took my brother Misha. What do you do then? What do you do? You see? If you don't handle this right, it's going to tear your Christianity up. It'll tear your faith up. It'll make you lose your religion. And we got so many out there that's doing just that. It'll make you hold a grudge against God, as though somehow God didn't fulfill his end of the bargain. And somehow God lied to you, but the devil is a liar. God will never lie. What you do when God says no? You see? Oh, goodness, I done passed up my notes, messed it all up. You prepared yourself for ministry. And God said, I don't want you in ministry. You prepared yourself for business. And God said, no, I want you in the ministry. Tonight, you're in good company. You're in good company. You're amongst the household of God. We've all been told no before. Amen. We all been told no before. But not only us, minister and brother Ham, they got some perennial saints in the Bible that God told no to. Woo! People that he split seas for on one end, come back and tell no for at another. Healing the sick and raising the dead on one end and come back and say no at another time. Oh, yes. Even people who walked on water at one time heard a no at another time. Who you talking about, Pastor? Well, God told Moses no. Oh, yeah, Moses. Yeah, you can do what you want. You're not going to see that promised land. No. God told no to Paul. Paul was healing all manner of folk and raising the dead. But God told him, hallelujah, I'm not taking away that thorn out of your flesh. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. What do you do when God says no? And the biggest no came in the Garden of Gethsemane with our Lord. When Jesus looked up and said, Father, if it, come on, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And Father was up there looking down saying, I'm getting to know, I'm getting to know. You see? It's not that God don't love you when he tells you no. In fact, it's just the opposite. Let me help you with your theology for a second. Let me help you with it for a second. Because the church messed up with bad theology. It's messed up with bad. It's messed up with bad theology. You see? Of course, saints, we do our part. We pray, we fast, we push. We say, God, please. We say, God, change your mind. But you could never forget that he is God. He reigns. He's sovereign. You got to give him the right to make the final decision. God have mercy. Renata Gale. Chancey, y'all have children. Would you be a good parent if you gave your children everything they wanted? Everything they asked for? Absolutely not. Why would you try to put that rule on God? Why would you try to put that rule on God? You see what I'm saying? You do your part, you pray, you fast, but God's going to make the final ruling. All right? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Amen. And the way it's going, it might take me one or two messages. Amen. But I want to prepare us as a church. Because I see that the church at large is weak right now, Minister Ann. And it's weak particularly in this category. We got a lot of Christians these days that are babies. Babies without knowledge and without wisdom. They even get mad at God when God says no. Raise their fist to the heavens. Want to argue with God. I heard some Christians bragging about how they had a downright blowout argument, even cursing at God before. Boy, you's a new fool, boy. You understand what I'm saying? And I say a new fool because the people in the old days, they would never approach their God like that. They would never approach their God like that. The Puritans knew whatever came about in their life, listen, it is well with my soul. I'm trying to talk to you about the sovereignty of God. You see how he reigns. So, Philly, we must remember, man. Let him make the final decision. Don't be no babies in here. You do your part, you ask him, amen, but you leave the decision up to him finally. Amen. I mean, you do everything you can to get him to grant the request. But when he makes his decision, how are you going to respond? So let's begin, and I want to talk about why God says no. Let's just talk about that first. Amen. Come on, sound booth. I have it up there. Why does God say no? Amen. And the first reason God says no, remember, we're talking about David. The child died even though David fasted and prayed. God says no when saying yes would bring you harm. If God granted your request, it would hurt you. It would harm you. That's when God says no. It's like a parent, amen, you catch your child about to try to plug in, hallelujah, a plug into a socket, and they're only 1 or 2 years old. You don't let them do that because you know that that could harm them. A lot of times God will see us asking for something, wanting something, and let me tell you, we playing with fire. God says, no, I'm not giving you that because it's going to destroy you. There was a woman who spent a summer away from her children. She crossed the pond, went abroad, amen. She was in another country. Spent a whole summer, 3 months without her children. After that summer was over, she was anxious to get back to them. She had missed her children. She went to buy a ticket to board a steamship. It was back in the day. But the ship was full. All the rooms were taken aboard the ship. She would have to wait 2 weeks to get passage on another vessel. 2 whole weeks. An additional 2 weeks without seeing her children. The woman prayed, but nothing happened. She wept bitterly. She cried. She felt like God had let her down. A few days later, the ship that she was desperately trying to get on sank to the bottom of the Atlantic. The no that God told her was really the answer to prayer that she wanted. Woo! She was praying to see her kids, but if God would have let her get on that ship, she would have never seen them again. Sometimes no is to protect you, to keep you from harm. You see? Yeah. But we get upset. We cry, we throw a temper tantrum when God really trying to protect us. Philly, remember when God said, no, you got to turn to your scriptures and remember Romans 8:28. You know it. And we know, somebody say, we know. That all things, the Bible says, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Even the no's work together for your good. Come on, give God some glory for that. And so here we are at home and we're trying to find our keys. Lord, find my keys. And they don't turn up as fast enough for us. We get frustrated with God. God, what's wrong with you? And all the while, God trying to protect you from an accident that's going to happen when you're usually on your way to work. He says no when he's trying to keep us from harm. Not only that, when you want a certain man or a certain woman in your life, and that man ain't no good for you. That woman ain't no good for you. And it seemed like that relationship got more bumps than the Rocky Mountains. And you trying to press through, but ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing shaking. Amen. And you're praying, God, give me this man. And God, give me this woman. And God said, no. Because what you want going to hurt you and harm you. Woo! What you want going to pull you out of church. What you want to have your back in the club. What you want to be have you hiding drugs in your closet again, woman of God? What you want, man of God, to have you fighting some brother in the streets over this woman? God will say no. Anybody ever prayed for someone, but in retrospect, you're happy you didn't get them? Woo! Lord. Got somebody in saying, Lord, I wish you would have told me no. But what you don't know is that one you're wishing God wouldn't have gave you is the best thing for you after all. He working all together for the good. Woo! He would have never let you marry her if she ain't had no good for you. I got to try to save some marriages in here. Come on, let me pastor you. Yeah, you wanted that car, that house, and the loan didn't go through. You see? But God know in reality, man, maybe at the time you wouldn't be able to afford those payments. Or maybe God saw down the line that you was about to lose your job. Or maybe God saw some other things. See, a no is something that we should thank him for because he always got our good in mind. Come on, give him glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next one. Why does God say no when he has something better for you? Oh, God, this is good. This is good. This has always been the situation in my life. He's always told me no when he had something better. Me and my little wife was just talking about it. We remember going to certain houses and anointing them with oil. And Brother B, I remember we was in the hood one day, man. I ain't going to say the neighborhood because somebody might live in there right now, but we was in the hood. My little wife said, my little wife told me I was on the knees, and my knees in the hood for that house, you know. And we prayed, man. We anointed, man. We did everything that we knew to do. And we didn't get it, man. God told us no. Now, looking back, and the crime statistics in the neighborhood, we know now that God had something better for us. Come on. You see, somebody need to hear this word tonight. Somebody waiting on something. Somebody been declined, been told no, you've been rejected. Woo! But God only tell his children no when he got something better. You see what I'm saying? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to me. I remember, man, wanting to stay in Baton Rouge after law school. I wanted to live in Baton Rouge so bad. It was a bigger city. It was nice. I had made some Christian friends there. We had ministry going on over there. My little wife had moved on down to Baton Rouge. Everything was great, man. You know, I was working at a nice firm, amen, and we were making money, man. I was learning the ropes and everything like that. And I wanted to, hallelujah, I was working as a clerk, but after I graduated, hallelujah, I wanted them to hire me as a full-time attorney. And everything looked like it was good on paper. I was making the money. You know, we could do it. We could make it. We could do it. You know? And so, B, man, I do the best I can, man, to persuade these people to hire me, man. You know? I mean, I'm praying. I'm serving God. I'm doing everything that I know to do right. You know? After I do my best and put in my resume, application, everything, and say, now, come on, man, y'all know me. And them people told me, no, man. I was so hurt. In fact, I still got some things that I'm dealing with. You know, I'm still dealing with some things, you know. You know? Man. But what I didn't know was that God had something better for me in Lafayette, Louisiana. Amen? I couldn't see down the line, B. God, I thought I had a ministry out there, but he had a better ministry waiting for me. I thought I had business over there. He had more business waiting for me. You know what I'm saying? He'll never tell you no unless he got something better for you. You know what I'm saying? It reminds me of that scripture in Isaiah. Amen. When Isaiah tells us, hallelujah, in 55:8, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. My way was to work where I was, y'all. To stay in Baton Rouge. And God forbid, never have gotten to know any of y'all. Never would have been a part of a church called Philadelphia Christian Church. Never would have started a Bible study in Lafayette. Never, woo, God have mercy. I look back on my prayers and say, God, I'm thankful for the no. I'm glad you canceled that. I'm glad you ignored it, God. I cried when you told me no at the time. But when I look back, I'm certainly happy. You say, my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And I love what God is talking about. He's talking in, hallelujah, a vocabulary, a language of altitude, Brother Groom. He said, I'm higher. Oh, God have mercy. I'm higher. I got a different perspective. You in the maze, I'm above the maze. You in time, I'm above time. You see, you're looking at the present, but I'm looking at the past, present, and the future. And I'm looking at it all. You trying to make a decision on what's happening right now. But I'm going to give you a no on that one. Because I see in 2016, you standing up in that plaid, you think sharp. Hey, it ain't that sharp. But I see the people of God gathered. And I know you think you know what you want. But I'm higher than you. And I know what you really want. Come on, give him glory in his house. He says no. When he's got something better. Who I'm talking to tonight? Who asking for some things tonight? Huh? He's got something better for you. There was a woman of God, amen, who prayed for her son to get into a certain university. And that particular university was like the family alma mater. It was a family tradition that everybody went to this university. And for some reason, after they did all the legwork and the paperwork and going and talking to the different people at the university, the young man got denied. He wasn't accepted into admissions. You see, she was so angry with God, this woman. She told God, God, I go to church every Sunday. And I'm not one of those tippers, God, I pay my tithes. See, when you start talking to God about, God, I pay my tithes. You really mad at that. You. Oh, God, I pay my tithes. This woman said, God, you let me down. What she didn't know is that the university that God wound up sending this young man to, he would meet a woman of God. Not a good wife, a great wife. He would meet a Proverbs 31 woman. A woman that mama was praying for. And so while mama was praying for a university, God said, I'm going to give you something better than a university. I'm going to give you a daughter-in-law that's going to be a wife to your son and a mama to your grandchildren. And if God would have never said no to school, she would have never got a yes on that daughter-in-law. Hey, somebody hearing me up in here. And looking back, she felt so shallow, so fleshly for getting mad at God. And it's in those times, saints, if you ever been mad at God, listen, you got to be a big boy and a big girl. You got to go back and tell God you're sorry. You got to say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't see it all. I didn't have the whole picture in view. You know what I'm saying? What do you do when God says no? You see? There are people so hurt, amen, when a relationship don't work out. When God got a better relationship for you that's coming. So hurt when they don't get that job with that pay that they want. And I done been in those situations where I think this is the best job, but after I'm rejected, I get a higher paying job with more benefits. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't know who I'm preaching to. It'll work for houses. It'll work for cars. You just got to trust God when God says no. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Why does God say no? God says no to bring himself greater glory. Greater glory. To say yes to you for what you asking going to bring him a little glory. A corner of glory. But sometimes God will say no because he don't want a corner of glory. He want greater glory. God will tell you no sometimes. An example of this, amen, would be the story in our Bible in John chapter 11 about Lazarus. You know the story. Lazarus was sick. And Jesus knew about it, G-Money. He knew Lazarus was sick. But the Bible said that Jesus waited. He waited 2 days. He waited until Lazarus had died. And they couldn't understand it. He said, Lazarus is asleep. They couldn't understand it. And when he got there, Martha read him. Y'all know Martha. Y'all got some Marthas around y'all house? Oh, they got some Marthas in here. Martha told the Lord, trying to tell the Lord off. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. It's your fault, God. If you'd have showed up earlier, if you'd have answered my first request, if you would have gave me what I wanted when I asked it, now, God, it's too late. How in the world are you going to tell God it's too late? The one that called it those things that are not as though they were. And that's why he look at it, he say, woman, I am the resurrection and the life. You going to tell God he too late? No, no, no. God will go ahead and give you a no so that he can do a greater glory. Get greater glory. Somebody say greater glory. Greater glory in my life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what you want God to get. You see? Because if he would have went on time, he would have just healed Lazarus like everybody else. And we would have been reading about it and wouldn't even see Lazarus' name in the book. There was countless healings that he done. He healed Peter Mama's name. We didn't know Peter Mama's name. Who's Peter Mama? I don't know. But because of this greater glory, Lazarus got his name in the book. So Jesus waited. He waited 2 days till he died, and then the journey was 2 days' journey. He got there, and Lazarus was 4 days in the grave. And by now, he's stinking. The Lord said, we're going to make sure that they know the power of God that came in here. Woo! You know what I'm talking about, James. Man, when he come out there, he said, roll the stone away. They say, Lord, no, Lord. Lord, no. He said, roll the stone away. You see? Look in that tomb, dark, dark, dark. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Yeah. Woo! That boy come out of that. Lord, next time. Can you come before I stink it? Can you? You know how many bads I'm. But listen. He said, loose him and let him go. Sometimes God will tell you no right here. Because he's going to tell you yes down here. And the yes down here is going to bring him greater glory. What is it for you? Huh? You've been asking for a little miracle. A little blessing. I'm saying I'm holding off because I got bigger plans for you. I'm about to shock the world. I'm about to. God looking at that house saying, that's all you want? Looking at that mirror, that's all? That's what you? Nah. Nah. I'm going to wait. You see? Somebody say greater glory. The Bible tells us eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor either has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I think about our people, the Hebrews. I think about all the time we pray and we ask God to move and we fasted and we sung Kumbaya, my Lord. And we've been through a lot. You know? But I wonder, Miss Amisha, if God told us no right here to tell us yeah down here so that he can get greater glory. And you hear anybody tell me? Anybody hear what I'm saying? Have us go through slavery and segregation and oppression and Jim Crow and poll tax and lynching and discrimination and police brutality and illiteracy and drugs in our neighborhood and single parenthood and just a society of people that's a mess. Amen. He didn't want us to be sick. He wanted us to be a valley of dry bones. He wanted us to have no hope. And then he gonna come in and say, Lazarus, come forth, a people with no hope, a people with no leader, a people not unified, a people running everything but God, running away into everything but God. And I done had conversations, people looking, they said, Pastor, can it even happen, Pastor? Oh, hear me now. Hear me now. Yes, it could happen. Yes, it could happen. Yes, it could happen. He's just waiting for the 4 days. That's all he's doing. Hey! It is the fourth day, baby. By now, they stink it. Oh, God. Let me see you up in here. Let me see you up in here. Let me see you. Greater glory. Greater glory. Greater glory. That's when God will say no. Yes, God will say no sometimes. Hallelujah. When a no to you will benefit someone else. That's something else, huh? You praying and somebody else praying. Huh? And God answered the last three of your prayer, he's going to give the other Christian a shot now. And that's why the Cowboys win sometimes. Because we got Christians praying on both sides. Yeah. And so, God, at times, amen, will give you a no to benefit another one of his children. He'll give you a no to benefit somebody else. And that should be all right with us. Shouldn't it? Huh? You got a house with three children. You got your last piece of fudge round Twinkie with your dessert of choice. You see? You only get one of them a piece. Now, one of them get it all the time. They always get your last. They wait till you get to your last. He's almost to it. Daddy, can I have it? See? But when it's time to benefit someone else, there's a story of a carpenter. He was working in church. The pastor had called him over. They was doing a support drive for an orphanage in China. It was in the mid-1900s, early mid-1900s, during the Great Depression. And the carpenter comes in, he say, Pastor, what you need? Pastor say, listen, I need you to build me some boxes, some crates. People bringing clothes in and supplies. We're going to send this stuff to the orphanage in China. Because we going through a Great Depression, but if you think we got it rough, they have it rougher. The carpenter builds the crates, the boxes, and they fill them up with clothes and different articles and supplies. And it's a great day. And everybody leave feeling good. Carpenter jumps in his old vehicle, amen. He's heading home. And he reaches for his glasses and he can't find his glasses. And it bothers him because he just bought them. He spun almost all that they had to get that because he needed them. He begins to pray, Lord, don't let me go home without my glass ball. My wife, no. But he said, Lord, don't let me go home without my glasses. Look all over his truck. He can't find them. Then he remembers he was using them when he was billing the crates. So he goes back to church. Praise Lord. Just show me where they are in this place. And nothing comes up. Nothing comes up. He looks up and he says, God, I was working for you. I wasn't in the club when I lost my glasses or in the bar somewhere. I was working for you. God, why won't you just show me where? God, in his truck, he left. He was perturbed. He was upset, man. We fast forward 7 months later. People from the orphanage are on a furlough, and they come to the United States. The director of the orphanage is going to the churches that send him supplies, and he's so thankful, and he stands up in front of the congregation. Wait. And the carpenter is sitting in the back. And he begins to thank him, amen, about all the wonderful things that they sent. See what I'm saying? He began to thank him, you know. No, wait. Then he tears up. And he says, but besides all the clothes and the supplies, he said, the greatest thing y'all said, he said, I don't know how y'all did it. I don't know. I want to ask y'all, how did y'all do it? He said, we opened up all the crates, and in one of the crates, amen, he said, we opened and there was a pair of brand new glasses. Sitting on top of the clothes. He said, no. But what y'all don't know is that my glasses had just got destroyed. And we didn't have the money, nor the optometry to replace my glasses. I was catching headaches, couldn't do my work at the orphanage. It was a subject of prayer for my whole staff. We open your crate and there's a pair of brand new glasses. Sitting on the clothes. He picked the glasses up. He said they fit perfectly. He looked through the glasses. It's my prescription. He begins to cry. How did y'all do it? The carpenter begins to cry. And at that moment, he realized that God told him no to benefit another one of his children. And he was ashamed. He was ashamed that he was so mad at God when this man in China needed it more than he needed it. It brings me to the Garden of Gethsemane again. You see, because that's just what happened in the garden. One son was asking the father, Father, Abba, please let it pass from me. The father looked down and said, Son, I got somebody else that needs this more than you need this right here. I'm giving you a no to benefit somebody else. Come on, somebody. My God. That's why we can't get mad when God tells us no. Because it was a no that saved our soul in that garden. We can't get mad when he tells... Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody glad that God says no sometimes? It was a no that saved me. If he wouldn't have told the son no, the son would have never went to Calvary's Hill. Never bled and died on that cross for all my sins. He would have never been my propitiation, my atonement. If he wouldn't have told him no, I would have still yet been in my sins, on my way to hell, still doing what we used to do. That no saved me. That no changed me. That no got me married. That no made me a good husband. That no made me a good father. That no is passing Christianity to my children. Hey, God. I'm so glad today that my God sometimes will say no to his children. It was a no that saved us all. Yes, friends. God says no when he got another child that needs it more than you. And you should be all right with that. Lastly this. You say, Pastor, it's early. It's good. I'm going to let y'all off early sometime. God says no when the timing is wrong. When the timing is wrong. And this is so true. We've got a lot of people in this situation right now as I speak. You see? God's no to you tonight is really not a no. It's a not yet. Man. I don't know what you're asking for and what your dream is. But God has not told you no. He just say, not yet. Tonight, you can rejoice like you already have it tonight. You can rejoice like you're already living in it, like you're already driving it, like you're already companion, yoked up, married to it. You can rejoice like you have it because ain't nothing between you and it but time. Come on, Sabrina, you know what I'm talking about. And time passes. Huh, Manny? Woo! Time passes. It's just time. And every second you spend with me right now, you get closer and closer and closer and closer to the blessing. It's not a no. It's just a not yet. That's all it is. That's all it is. There's a saying in the church. Delayed, but not denied. Hey, God. Whoa. Somebody need to put a shirt on like that. Delayed, but not denied, baby. Because it's coming. My blessing is coming. And now every day I'm walking closer to it. It's right around the corner. It's there. My God. It's just sometimes our timing is a little wrong. It's a little off. We want it now, but God says there's not time just yet. I got some other things going on. It reminds me of the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. You see? In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, they talk about it. Bible says there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. And the Bible says, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. This fella here was a good fella. Good wife. Serving the Lord. From a good family. They doing what they got to do. You see? Next verse tells us in verse 6, amen, and they were both righteous before God. You see that? Doing the best they can. Walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord in a blameless fashion. Now, you know nobody is perfect, but you understand what they're trying to say. You know when somebody at least trying to do it right. In verse 8, it tells us, or verse 7, it tells us, and they had no child Because that Elizabeth was what? She was barren. You don't think they was praying? You don't think they was fasting? They was bombarding heaven. They was in sackcloth. They was denying creature comforts. They were laying up at night crying and weeping. Hey, God, they was doing everything they knew how to do. And God had told them no. And years passed. Decades passed. And now they both were now well stricken with years. They were too old now. All chances from a human perspective had expired. God had said no. But it was only a momentary no that was really a not yet. My God. You see, God wanted their child for a special purpose. And the blessing that they was praying for, amen, they was going to get, but the timing was wrong. Those who don't know, they wound up having a man child by the name of John. We call him John the Baptist. Not because he went to Progressive or Good Hope, but because he was a baptizing man. That's ain't nothing wrong with a Baptist, but I'm just telling you. Baptists are Christian too. John the Baptist. The problem is that John the Baptist was chosen to go before the chosen one. He was the forerunner, the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord, prepare the way. They couldn't have him too early, nor could they have him too late. For God, their request was all about. Hey, God. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. You're pushing God, you're rushing God, you're mad at God. But God said, you're not looking at the time. You see, John the Baptist had to be born right before Christ. They had to be in the womb, as though it were, at the same time together. For when the angel told Mary that she was going to conceive, Mary said, I had not been with a man. How is this thing possible? How am I supposed to know that? And the angel was able to tell her, because of timing, your cousin Elizabeth, who is beyond the childbearing age, a miracle done happened. She had conceived. Go over there and see it as confirmation. Oh, God. Some of y'all waiting for it now, but he don't need you to get your blessing now. He needs you to get your blessing at the right time because. So Mary walk in there. She walk in, Elizabeth. Let me see what the angel say. She walk up in there, and y'all know the story. The Bible say that the babe leaped in her. That baby kicked my microphone. That baby leaped in her womb, y'all. And Mary, filled with the Spirit, began to prophesy. How can it be that the mother of my Lord would come and visit me? Hey, God, have mercy. If God would have given Elizabeth that baby 30 years earlier, 20 years earlier, it would have threw off the timing of a thing. His timing is perfect. His timing is perfect. And if the Messiah was to come at a certain time, the forerunner had to come at a certain time. For in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. By him we all can cry, Abba, Father, by the... It was a timing thing. Oh, God have mercy. This same John would baptize the Messiah. See the heavens open and the heavenly dove come down. Hear the voice from heaven, behold, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. None of that would have happened if the timing would have been off. John was able to tell, hallelujah, two of his disciples, John and his brother Andrew, able to tell him one is coming whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unloose. He's able to stand up in front of everybody after the heavenly dove and say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Don't follow me no more. A greater than me is present. I baptize you with water, but one is here who will baptize you with fire. Fire. Fire and the Holy Ghost. All of these things happen because the timing, like dominoes in a row, hitting each other. Why are you so mad at God you want to throw off the timing? The Bible says our times are in his hands. Let God be God tonight. Let him say no when he want to say no tonight. Let him go ahead and be sovereign and king supreme over everything. You stop kicking and throwing tantrums like a baby. Time for you to grow up, Philadelphia. Time for you to graduate, Philadelphia. Woo! Time for you to know when he tells you no, he got something better for you. He's keeping you from harm. He might be trying to bless somebody else in the whole deal. You see? What do you do when God says no? And tonight, I'm glad he said no. Because he said no, I'm able to open up the plan of salvation tonight. I'm able to open up the cross. I'm able to open up the doors of the church and ask whosoever will tonight. I'm able tonight to ask if there's anybody who don't know the Lord tonight, anybody who may not be saved tonight, anybody that don't know if they died tonight that they'd be in heaven because the Father told him no. I'm able to bring to you the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are all sinners, that we've all fallen short of the glory, that because of our sin we deserve death, for the wages of sin is death. I'm able to tell you that we deserve death and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life tonight. And you have a choice tonight to get paid from sin or to get paid from Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to give you eternal life, and sin is only going to bring you straight down to hell. The choice is yours. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I'm able to make that offer tonight because the Father told him no. If you're not saved in this place tonight, salvation is easy. You have not because you ask not. The Bible says all that ask shall receive. All that seek shall find. And all that knock on this heavenly door, the door is going to be open. I'm asking you to ask tonight. I'm asking you to seek tonight. I'm asking you to knock tonight. Don't go home tonight and go to hell. Go home saved tonight. How do I do it, Pastor? You admit that you're a sinner. You admit you've done wrong, and we've all done wrong, whether you lied or stole, it don't matter. Hallelujah. Whether you've done it once, you sinned in the sight of a holy God. You admit that. I'm not perfect. You believe. You believe that he died for all your sins on that cross at Calvary's Hill. You believe he was buried in that grave. But like a grain of mustard seed that must fall, be planted in the ground and die, when it died, rises back up again anew. And our Lord, though he died and was buried, he rose on the third day. As sure as the sun rose this morning, the S-O-N rose on the third day as well, my friends. When you admit and you believe that, you just ask him, Lord, save me. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, not might, shall be saved. It's a promise. There will not be a single person in hell who asks God to save them. Not a single one who asks God to save them from their heart. Not a single one. Tonight we're going to pray. We're going to pray tonight. And you're going to be able to confess and ask your God to save you. You see what I'm saying? There's also some, you've been getting a no from God. And you're hurt. We're going to pray for you too. You've been getting a no from God and you're confused and it's shaking you. And you walk around like everything is okay, but you've got foundation failure. Because your theology is bad. You've taken out God's right to be sovereign. And I'm here to repair your foundation. Stand with me, please. My God. My God. We're going to pray. Everybody under the sound of my voice, say, God, I thank you for loving me in spite of me. I admit I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. But I know that you still love me. And I believe that you will accept me. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you were buried in the grave. And I believe that you rose on the third day. Lord, save me, a sinner. Change my heart. Give me a new start. Fill me with your spirit. Baptize me with fire. Use me for your glory. And help me to understand when you tell me no. Help me to trust you. To know it's for my good. I'm sorry if I doubted you. I'm sorry if I was upset. We repent. Be God. Be sovereign. Reign in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. 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 Peace, favor, delayed, not denied.